was in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, and who in Christ Jesus is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. Beloved congregation, grace, mercy and peace be to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing to God's praise Psalter 176, which is a prayer for blessing, that we in turn also may be a blessing. Psalter 176, all the stanza. First day of the new year, to read three psalms. And instead of reading Psalm 90, which many of us read last evening, let's read Psalm 91. But we'll begin with Psalm 46. So Psalm 46, Psalm 91, and then Psalm 101. First, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar thereof and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Then we go to Psalm 91. A great psalm of comfort about God as our refuge. Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, or cobra. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And then Psalm 101, which is also the psalm we will think about this morning. Here David says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave or cling to me. A froward or a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Who privily or privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that has an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer or allow. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. So far, the word of God. Let's sing to praise. Let's sing to God's praise about his word and in prayer that our lives may be in line with his word, as you find it in Psalter 323, which is from Psalm 119. We'll sing all the stanza. Let's pray for that God's word be our counselor and guide throughout this new year. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that on the first day of this new year, we are privileged again to meet for worship. We know it's a tradition, but help us to see it as a good tradition, that we may have the first day of the year and some time set aside just to worship you, to acknowledge that we live and move and have our being from you. Every breath, every day is a gift from your fatherly hand. And we are called also this year to live to your praise and glory. We pray, bless us in that way. Bless us that your word may be our guide, our counselor in all our ways, in our thoughts, words and deeds. That your word may be what we follow and live by and live out of. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom to worship. As we heard in the news this morning, in another country, in Egypt, while people went to church, and while it wasn't a church that we would necessarily agree with, yet they went to church and a bomb was blown up or detonated and more than 20 people were killed, as we read. Oh Lord, we don't have that here. We have freedom of religion. While people may despise us, they allow us this freedom still, and help us to be thankful, and help us gladly and unashamedly to worship the God, the one true God, in whom and of whom and through whom are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Lord, we pray for each one of us here. We pray for each household represented here and in our whole church family. Grant that this year may be a blessed year, a happy year in each person's life, in each household. Help, Lord, in the challenges that will come this year too. The devil still goes about as a roaring lion. We still have with us our old sinful nature. But Lord, if you go with us, we will be more than conquerors. And so bless us and guide us that we may live to your praise and that we may be a light also in this community in which we live. We pray for strength in our daily responsibilities at school and at work and in the home. Help each one of us to live as unto the Lord and in all things to seek to glorify God triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please forgive us our sin. And keep us from sin. Even this new year already, we have shown our sinfulness in different ways. Please wash it away. And thank you that the Lord Jesus is an endless fountain of cleansing and renewal. So we look to him also as we begin this new year. We pray for those with special trials in our church family. Even here among us, you know the trials that people bear. Will you help, Lord, in each case? And give strength and comfort from above. We read these beautiful psalms. Oh Lord, that we may come under the shelter of your wings and know your warmth and your love and compassion and care and keeping in all our ways. Help us to know God as our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So bless us, Lord, and make us a blessing. We pray, bless your gospel cause and the extension of your church and kingdom in this coming year. May many more be added to your church from Jew and Gentile. Oh yes, we pray too for the conversion of the Jews. Lord, that they may know Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that they may come to faith in him. We pray too for Muslims and for the heathens around the world, that they may come to know Jesus. We pray too for our country where so many are satisfied with life and in the pleasures of life and have no need of God. Lord, show them their need. Help us to be a means, also through the radio and in our personal contacts, to point people to Jesus. Lord, hear our prayer. Be with all our loved ones, our families. Lord, remember each and every family. Guide and lead them all in your way of grace and truth. Be with those who are sick, who would love to be here this morning, but could not come. We pray for them. And we pray too for those who just didn't think about coming. Oh Lord, remember each one according to their need and hear our prayer and receive our praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's now worship God with the giving of our offerings and then we will sing Psalter 271. Psalter 271 based on Psalm 101. fitting song to sing after the sermon, also on January 1, is Psalter number 1. And we'll sing that following the preaching. It's January 1 today, 2011. A new year has begun, and what will it bring? Actually, a more important question is, what's your and my attitude as we begin this new year? And what kind of aims or goals do we have for this new year? In reference to those questions, I invite you now to look with me at Psalm 101. In this psalm, David makes many resolutions, you could say. We are not sure when the psalm was written. It may have been penned when David became king, or maybe when the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem. It was penned when David had a new stage in his life, a new start in some way. The psalm has been called the Psalm of Pious Resolutions. Well, with this New Year's Day, we have come, haven't we, to a new stage of life. And to have a happy and a blessed New Year, congregation, for sure we must resolve no less than David, as he does in this Psalm 101. So let's look through this psalm. What I want to do is just go through the psalm, especially the first part, the first half of it, and make certain applications and reflections as we go along, leaving you also with some gospel challenges for this new year. The first four verses, you could say, are about David's personal resolutions. And then from verses 5 to 8, you have more his work-related resolutions. David begins saying, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. I will sing, or will I sing? David resolves to praise the Lord. You see that here. He has a right concentration, doesn't he? David says, he says it twice, I will sing. And notice, to whom he will sing? The Lord, that is, the faithful, covenant-keeping God. Now, David understands, too, what the Lord is about. Is something clear. He says, I will sing about God's mercy and justice. And that's good for us to think about and dwell upon, too, as we go into this new year. In Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's true, isn't it? We may know even better than David about God's mercy and His justice or judgment. The wonder of God's mercy is that it is a just mercy. And the wonder of God's mercy is that His justice is fully displayed in Christ Jesus, while at the same time, His mercy is also completely brought out. In Psalm 85, verse 10, you find these two attributes of God combined in a certain way. We read there the psalmist say, mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Well, you know, all through the world, we see repeatedly mercy without justice, which is really then a false kind of mercy. And then on the other hand, you can see in the world sometimes and all too often, justice with no mercy, which is just so harsh and hopeless. But in the Christian faith, uniquely and splendidly, we see mercy and justice brought together. And they may be seen and experienced in the most wonderful way, giving reason indeed for endless praise to our God. David's resolved to sing. About what? He will sing to God. He will sing to the Lord. He has a resolve to praise and magnify the Lord for His mercy and justice. Well, will you live so praising the Lord in this coming year? It's amazing how often the Bible calls us to sing. We had someone over the other day who said, I never sing. We never sing. We live in a world where generally people don't sing. We have lots of entertainers who sing for us. But people generally do not sing. And yet Christians should stand out as a singing people. You find many references in the Bible about this. Take, for instance, Psalm 47, verse 6 and 7. There we read, sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. In two verses, five times it says, sing. Talk about singing, I like to give two challenges. One is, how about cultivating more this practice of singing songs in our homes. Now I'm preaching a little bit to the choir here, since all of you do sing in your homes. But let's just reaffirm that practice. Years ago it happened more, that in the homes of Christians, people would sing together. Why not this year make it a point of just really singing every day a song to the Lord in your personal or family devotions? And with visitors, why not suggest singing a song to God's praise? Doesn't Paul speak about this too? In Ephesians and also Colossians, speaking to yourselves, he says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I challenge us here to make sure to sing to God's praise in your homes. It may seem strange even when you're by yourself. Sing, even when you're by yourself, thinking of praising God with your songs. It's so God-honoring when we use our voices, even our feeble voices, in praise and adoration to God the Lord. Maybe in your home, and I think in this case, in all our homes, it is happening already. But still, no doubt, it's an exhortation that we can be encouraged in further. God is so worthy to be praised and worshipped. And there are so many beautiful Christian songs and hymns, and especially the Psalms, of course, are so God-honoring and soul-edifying to sing. And the second challenge in regards to singing, as David says twice in Psalm 101, I will sing. The second challenge is in reference to church singing. As a congregation, we may be thankful for good singing. And we're thankful for the pianists who help us in singing. Also for this new year, hopefully, again. But I want to say, let us with singing each and all, just give it our very best. You know that we can be a real witness to the gospel just with our singing. I remember having a wedding once, and we had people not from church circles come to that wedding, and they were so moved by the singing of the congregation during the wedding. In a day and age where people don't sing themselves, what a witness to the gospel we give when we sing reverently and robustly to our God the songs of Zion. Well, may God make us and help us to continue to be a singing congregation to His praise. Also in the year 2011. David was resolved to live in his personal praise before God as he started a new stage in life. And it included singing. Are you resolved the same as we begin this new year? Notice next David's resolve at personal holiness expressed in verses 2 to 4. What does he say there? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That is, in an entire or wholehearted, blameless, godly way. That's what he means. Before the Lord and all people. Do you hear what David's desire here is? To walk truthfully before God and not just in a half-hearted way. No. But in a perfect way. That is, with his whole being always. He will behave himself wisely in a perfect, that is, in a complete, wholehearted, genuine, steadfast way. David resolves here for true religion. No half-hearted business, no hypocritic way of life. No, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. In a complete way. In a total way. Notice what he says too, as to where he will live uprightly in God's ways. Wisely in the way of the Lord. Namely, and especially, where? In his house. In his family setting. In his personal household. I will walk within my house, he says, with a perfect heart. You know, it's true, isn't it? We prove who we most are in our families. Ooh, that hurts, doesn't it, a little bit? Much, said someone, though not all, of the power of godliness lies within doors. That's true. Don't you find this is true in your own experience as well? Will you and I be living Christians in our homes this year? As husbands and wives, as children with our parents, as parents with our children? Isn't it true what someone said? It's easier for most of us to walk with a perfect heart in the church or even in the world than in our own families. Yet there it must start if it is to be genuine anywhere else. I think we all know that's true. It's so sad and wrong if you give outside the home the impression of holiness while inside the home you are anything but that. Too many are meek as lambs among others, while at home they are like wasps or tigers or bears. I don't know if that's true of anyone here. Well, it can be true of me. But let it not be true of us, congregation. Where there is true religion, you want that demonstrated, especially also in the home, with your spouse and your children, and with your parents and with your siblings. I will walk, says David, within my house with a perfect heart that is in the way of true love and godliness and humble integrity. Is this household godliness and walking wisely and lovingly to God's praise, especially there in your family setting, what you aim for and will aim for this year too, God helping you each step of the way every day again? When we think of David in this regard, and about being a true man of God in his family and walking with perfect heart, especially also in the home, we know David fell far short of this goal and resolve, what he desired to be. But he had this holy aim, that's for sure. And he expressed his godly desire, and he, the Bible teaches us, truly repented when he failed. And he made this holy resolve again and again, to be upright and holy in his own home even, and not just a little bit, but in a perfect way he would walk. And he so desired with a perfect heart, that is wholeheartedly and sincerely so. Well, is it the same with you and me? That's the question of application. What about it? You notice I skipped over the little phrase in the middle of verse 2. David says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come to me? I will walk within my heart, my house, with a perfect heart. I didn't skip that middle phrase because it's unimportant. But to highlight it now, for how it shows us, congregation, the humble attitude of David, really, in his resolves, in all his resolutions. Don't you agree with me that little middle phrase in verse 2, oh, when wilt thou come to me, is David's earnest confession and plea that apart from God's saving mercy and help, also in his life, nothing would come of his desires and his resolves to live godly. All his resolutions too would fall by the wayside. The middle phrase reflects, congregation, the struggle and the battle in the Christian life. And how, except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. How important that you and I realize this too. And that we come to learn this more and more in life's journey as the years go by. And the Lord has a way of teaching it to us. Except we abide in the Lord and His Word, and He in us by His Word and Spirit, will we prosper at all in His ways and in godly resolutions? You know better, don't you? How we need the Lord and His Word and Spirit with us in all our ways, all our days, also this new year, 2011. If God be with us, we will make progress in wisdom and holiness and service to the Lord. But apart from Him, let's be honest, apart from Him and His saving and sanctifying powers, nothing good really happens in our lives. And most poor will be our influence to others. Well, do you acknowledge this too, as we begin this new year, 2011? Even this first day, do you say from your heart to the Lord, oh, when wilt thou come to me? Desiring mostly His presence, His guidance, His Spirit, His power, as you move on with your resolutions also for this new year. David's such an example for us here in Psalm 101. Not only in his making holy resolves, but in the way he makes them too. So sincerely and so in dependence upon the Lord and so out for the glory of God in all his ways. Will it be any less so for you and me this coming year? In the bulletin I've given you another one of Matthew Henry's New Year's resolutions. And if interested, I can give you, and you can look up for yourself really, Jonathan Edwards' 75 resolutions, which he resolved at the beginning of each year and which he also re-resolved many times throughout the year. Spurgeon writes, "He who does not even resolve to do well is likely to do very ill. If we aim for nothing much in life, we won't accomplish much in life either." Well, that's just common sense. So what are you aiming for? What are you resolved about? What are your goals for this new year? And how do you make your resolves? Can you identify with the psalmist of Psalm 101? The psalms speak the language of the people of God. David writes here as a man after God's own heart. Are you like him? Am I? Desiring what he desired and seeking the way, the pathway he sought to glorify God. Not in self-reliance, but in earnest, humble dependency upon the Lord. Well, let's go on and notice further some particulars of David's resolve to behave wisely in a perfect way and to walk within his house with a perfect heart. For resolutions to mean something, they have to touch on everyday life, don't they? Otherwise, it's just like abstract nothing. So David goes on here, and he says in verse 3, "I will set no wicked thing," literally, the things of Belial, literally, "before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside or that fall away. It shall not cleave or cling to me." See right away with me how this word surely has relevance for us in our times today. As a king, you know, David could set whatever he wanted more or less before his eyes. We don't have to be kings today for that. We can set whatever we want before our eyes with a click of the computer button, the mouse. But David knew what all God's people realize with repentance, that what fascinates the eyes is not always good things. And when it's something evil that we look upon with our eyes, it's likely to gain admission into the heart and to corrupt us in all our ways. Have you never prayed God to wipe out certain scenes that you wished your eyes had never indulged upon? What a good guideline to have, and important too, in the privacy of your home and mine, especially also in our multimedia age. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. This might be a text to write on a piece of paper and to tape on the top of your television or your computer screen or on your BlackBerry or on your magazines or books, you name it. I will set nothing evil or wicked or immoral before my eyes. How easy in our times to let your eyes and ears take in things that are wicked and defiled, that surely no child of God should indulge in any way. I'm afraid that too many confessing Christians today, in their homes, allow lots of wickedness to just flood into the home, while they sit in their lazy boy chair and just take it all in. And we're so little different from the world around us. It shouldn't be that way. Let us remember that the all-seeing, most holy God always knows and sees what you or I may be looking at, even when no one else is watching. Is this your personal conviction and care too? Not to set any wicked thing before your eyes. You hear how David, in his resolutions, wasn't just giving pious talk, but he was really in pursuit of practical godliness and holiness, and he would indeed have all his life devoted to God and His glory. I don't know if he wrote this psalm after his situation with Bathsheba, where he'd let his eyes wander, and a lot of trouble came because of it. We are not to let our eyes be focused on what the world offers and what sin and the devil promotes. Rather, says Scripture, Paul in Philippians 4:8, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise or praise, anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Focus on those things. Meditate on those things. Pursue those things, and not the works and ways of those who have turned aside from God. David says in our text, it shall not cleave to me, meaning he would not let evil come near to him even. For he knew how wickedness and evil, when permitted and indulged in the least way even, soon sticks to us as burrs on our clothes, which you can't get off hardly. If you will live by Psalm 101 in 2011, is there a wicked thing that maybe you need to remove from before your eyes? Is there some habit? Is there some practice which really doesn't help you in godliness, but actually hinders you rather, and corrupts you, that really you should remove and replace with something God-honoring, righteous and good instead? Why not develop the habit of some good reading? There's so much material out there which is mind-informing and soul-stirring and life-reforming for God and good. Let's make use of these resources in our times. David will not have sin cling to him in any way. And notice in verse 4, he goes further saying, a froward heart, by which he means a perverse heart, shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. In the Hebrew, it says literally, an evil one or wickedness in general, not will I know or be familiar with. And here David confesses his resolve not to live in fellowship and companionship with those who live in sin and in ungodliness. He wants so much rather to choose for God and good and holy company in his life. Well, will you and I live this way too in 2011, congregation? So that clearly it's evident you and I can't feel comfortable in the company of worldly and ungodly people. In life, in practical life, you have to work often in that setting, but you're not comfortable in a setting of worldliness, and you cherish the company of fellow Christians and are drawn to such, and those who live in sin you stay away from, and they stay away from you, for they see that you're not part of their company. And you don't indulge in the same things they indulge in. David here is not speaking as a self-righteous Pharisee, but he's speaking here as a humble, godly person, wanting just to pursue what is right and true. He desires to have relationships that are holy and noble, and he writes as one who resists sin and who hates what sin promotes and who doesn't want the ways of the world. You and I have this same desire and this resolve as we begin this new year. We were talking last night about how too often in church we can be too much like the world. And we're not as salt as we're called to be. In summary, we can say about David's personal resolutions. He will live to God's praise. He will pursue to live in a perfect way before God, at home, and everywhere else as well. And to that end, he will avoid evil in any shape or form and stay away from it like the plague. David pledges that while living in the world, he yet will not be like the world. God helping him. That's what we find in the first four verses of Psalm 101. And then in verses 5 to 8, we learn David's testimony how he will live for God and good also in his work, yes, as king, and in his daily responsibilities of life as a ruler of the land. We will not go through the second part of the psalm in the same way as we did with the first four verses, except to say this. You notice clearly what David would be personally, all for God and good. The same is what he desired to promote in his work life, yes, as king and ruler of the land. David, to that end, we're told, he looked for people in his court and fellow helpers in his rule who would be gracious and not gossips. He would look for humble men and not proud, arrogant, self-serving type of people. He would promote faithful men and not give room for the unfaithful. He would not have deceitful men in his courts, but honest men. He would not allow liars and evildoers free reign in the land. But as king, he would seek to put them away and to have all evildoers removed, even from the city of the Lord. We have to understand here, of course, David is speaking as king in his times, where kings could just do that. But the main thing to highlight here is, and this is really important, you see how David's words reflect his passion that all under his rule and in his realm would seek and serve the Lord. David as king, in other words, would deal radically against all sin, and he would live heartily all for God and in his ways. That is, let me say it this way. David didn't see, and this is important to say in our day, he didn't see his religion and his God as just a small private compartment of his life, separate from daily life and practical life and work life. No, but David's God and his devotion was that which characterized and guided and filled his whole life. God was not just a little compartment of his life, but the center and the core of his life around which everything else revolved. You know, a truly converted person isn't someone that finally now has a little compartment for God in his life now too. No, but a truly converted person is someone who ends up having God as the center of his life. And no part of life anymore where God isn't involved and where God's ways are not adhered to and followed. How important that the same be the case for you and me as confessing Christians. We don't need Christians that are Christians just for so many hours a week. We need Christians who are Christians throughout their life. New people, made new creatures. When you are a true believer, saved by grace, looking to Jesus Christ and abiding in Him, this is what marks your life. Your Christianity then comes through in all you think and say and do, even unconsciously so, when you are a true believer. Well, this psalm makes clear, as David takes position as king, he wants to be such a godly influence for God and good in all his personal and family and public life. That's his aim, his hope, his resolve, his prayer and care. What grand godly resolves he makes then to that end in this psalm, Psalm 101. It's like course 101 for 2011. And reflecting on his godly resolutions, do you not think too, oh, would that all people, and especially all in authority, in one way or another, would have this vision and this aim, and these resolves that David has here in Psalm 101. Yes, also here as church, here in Calgary. Isn't it true, if it's well, each and all of us, when confessing Christians, and especially also as consistory members, we need the resolves David shares here. We need to resolve always only to promote true relationship with God in Christ Jesus that shows also in the fruit of godliness and thankfulness and holiness and praises to God triune in spirit and truth in the whole of our life, with everything we are about, in every relationship we have. Well, will Psalm 101, with its resolve for personal praise to God and hearty holiness before God and practical godliness in all of life, be something you and I model in this new year? Will you let Psalm 101 impact you in that way, each and everyone here, including myself now? How we should pray and work, congregation, that it be so as confessing Christians here in Calgary. Well, I want to end this sermon mentioning yet 3 points of their application about making and keeping such like godly resolutions as we find in this psalm. Very briefly, the first is, don't you find it very humbling how while David so honestly resolved Psalm 101, yet he fell short of these resolutions in a deep and miserable way? You know that from his history. Oh, how David failed in his own house to live the godly life he would so pursue. But this is told to us, congregation, to humble us. and to drive home the fact that you and I very much need God in every step of the way. Shall it go well with us? Shall it be well with us? You and me. It's likely that David was the one who writes later in Psalm 119, verse 133, order my steps, each step, according to thy word, in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. David realized he couldn't go a step without failing, left to himself. David's failures in the Bible should only make us all the more humble and all the more dependent on the Lord for His mercy and His grace. Yes, His mercy and justice as we go on in life's journey, also in this new year. Then the second application I would make in regards to all this is how wonderful that where David failed, where he failed so much in his holy resolves, later, the great Son of David, Jesus Christ, He never once failed in living with a perfect heart, in a perfect way, in all His earthly home, and all His work as Savior of sinners. No. Praise God. He never once failed. Praise God for that, because, you know, our salvation is found all alone in this Christ Jesus as a triumphant, all-sufficient Savior of sinners. Yes, with Jesus Christ, we have perfect saving work, not just in His perfect holy life on sinners' behalf, but also in His perfect, complete payment for sin in His people's place, even for as many as trust and obey Him. Thank God, not David of old is our deliverer and Savior, but Jesus Christ, the once crucified and risen Savior. And what a joy and comfort as we begin this year that this Savior lives, and that He as chief prophet will stoop to teach us by His word and spirit as we go on in life's journey. In His mercy and grace and justice and holiness, He will teach us all about that. And He as only high priest, He will also ever be there for the forgiveness of all our sins through His shed blood on Calvary every day again. And He also as high priest will be in heaven in constant intercession for us in all our needs for body and soul every day again. And He as almighty King, He will ever be there to guide us and to guard us in all the right ways and to help us against all our foes and to lead us in the way everlasting. In this regard, we can say Psalm 101 is surely a Christ-centered psalm, as the whole Bible is really. It's all Christ-focused. It is in dependence on the royal Son of David, that is Jesus Christ the Lord, that we should and that we may repeat this psalm and make it our prayer and our care as well. And so doing, you and I will not be put to shame. No. But then you will be blessed and you will be a blessing by God's grace. Yes, in ways that you can't even imagine. We know David in his time, in spite of his failings, what a man of God he was, and what a lot of good he did. What an influence for God's church and kingdom he really was in his times, in spite of his many shortcomings. To live apart from God, like King Saul did, and Absalom, for example, and many others, then life becomes without purpose and without real fruit. It's empty and hopeless. As also their lives proved, surely. Think of King Saul's end and Absalom's too. But David's life, in spite of his sins and sinfulness, was yet such a success. And a life of so great blessing for others, even generations down the line. Yet why? Through God's redeeming grace. And just think, what David so longed for, I love thinking about this, what David so longed for, his resolves here on earth, also as expressed in Psalm 101, may now by God's redeeming, perfect, saving work, be David's constant, perfect experience and delight in glory forevermore. Oh, how good. This is a line. Please remember it. How good to live with godly resolves that you never need to regret. Even when you need daily to confess and grieve over failures to meet your resolves here and now. Through God and His grace, we are called to make holy resolves like Psalm 101. and we may be enabled to live accordingly, congregation, here in part, and one day, perfectly so, by the grace of God. This then also is my third application, and then I close. And the third application is this: see how hopefully and purposefully you and I may live when we live with David's godly resolutions. If you too would thrive in 2011, Psalm 101 is the way to live. I heard recently, actually, with my daughter-in-law, who's a nurse, she spoke about a so-called failure to thrive diagnosis, medically speaking. Failure to thrive. And it's a diagnosis that's given for people who have no direction and hope in life. Failure to thrive. We live in a day where there's too many confessing Christians who have a failure to thrive diagnosis. And it should not be so, and it need not be so. No, for following God's word and will and abiding in Christ, ever looking to Him, we have every reason to thrive and to flourish also in this new year. And to be living fruitful, fruitful lives to God's praise, regardless of circumstances that you and I may encounter. Be wise, therefore, yes, from the days of your youth, young people, and all of us here, be wise. For following God's way, truly, you can and you will live purposefully, and you will die peacefully, and you will enter eternity joyfully. While not doing so, you live wrongly, and you will die miserably, and you will enter eternity hopelessly. So let's encourage each other this whole year to live by Psalm 101, each and every one here, whether younger or older, and to live in true and practical godliness and in holy love for God and for good in all our ways. Even so, and only so, as another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be, on earth or else in heaven, another year for Thee. Yes, in line with Psalm 101. Amen? Amen. So, Psalter 1, let's sing in response. So let the godly seek Thee. No, that's not Psalm 101, but the song of the godly.
That man is blessed who fears.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we could receive this morning Course 101, free of charge, from the Lord God of heaven and earth, through the Bible, through the preaching of your word, as we worship together. What a way to start the year. What a divine perspective that we are privileged to have as we begin. Oh, Lord, help us to live by this word. May this word be a lamp to our feet and a light upon our path each step of the way, every day again. Help us, Lord, to set no wicked thing before our eyes. Help us to sing to your praise every day, to glorify your name, to acknowledge you as the giver of life and the God to whom all glory is due. Lord, help us that we may be as David was, in being resolved to seek and serve the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and that others too will do the same. Lord, keep us from sin and forgive us our sin. We know that we will be attacked by Satan and by the world and by the lusts of our flesh. But have mercy upon us and make us true and faithful by your grace, and have us to long for that day when the battle will be over and when our resolutions will be forever lived out to your praise in absolute perfection by your grace. O Lord, help us to live now in view of that day to the glory of your name and for the coming of your kingdom. Thank you for this time together. Bless us further this day. Bring us together again tomorrow when it's the Lord's day. And bless us in worship, and may your name be praised. We ask all these things in the forgiveness of sin, even in this hour, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Psalter number 82, Security in God. And our doxology is 298, stanza 3. I was told that Lloyd-Jones ended his service with benediction this way: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you all throughout the short and uncertain earthly life and pilgrimage until we meet again. Amen.